The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
So, we've got another big-time special guest. And you know what? We're not going to rob anybody outside of a club either. Let's do this. It's a What Are the Odds Wednesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model. No Jong Lee today. The B-Team Tyler is in. If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at producer T. Scott, unless he's changed it again. Good. And you can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Wednesday. We do things a little bit differently. When you call, text, tweet, send a raven, run naked through the streets with a question on you, put odds on it, because it's What Are the Odds Wednesday. What are the odds we have a really cool guest in studio right off the bat?
It's like 30%, 40%.
45. He's all right. I go 45%.
He's all right.
So
I always, Esme, you know, the front desk lady, always says, you guys need to let me know if you're going to have a guest in, because she's worried that of one of these days so we're going to make some listener mad. And they're going to come
much
in
every
here
day.
And they're going to say, hey, I'm here to see Fred and AJ, and she's going to bring them back, and they're going to try to kick our asses. And I tell you all the time, don't worry about that, because I always have a gun. But today, I feel like even a gun, I still would have gotten beat up. It's one of those days. So we got a special guest coming up in the next segment, a guy that I'm excited to talk to on the air here. So.
Just to tease it, it's a guy you've been talking about for a long time.
Yeah.
Even before he became big. So
no, he's always been big. Even before he became famous.
Yeah. Better word. Much better word.
Yeah.
So, we'll get to that next segment. But a lot of stuff happening in the sports world today. We got this weird James Harden story. And just now, your buddy Andrew Luck, your favorite player on the planet, $140 million
over 6 years. I'm rich, bitch. That is the... I think he's the highest paid ugly quarterback in the league now.
He's the highest paid anything in the league.
Oh,
so you can start with that.
Good for him.
But yeah, he goes without saying he's the highest paid ugly quarterback.
Man, I got to say, when we talked about this a little bit yesterday, I'm not in the Andrew Luck all of a sudden just forgot how to play football. I'm not on that camp. I can't believe that's the case. I think he had a rough year last year. I think he was banged up most of the year. That dude's been a monster for 4 years, has one bad year, and everybody's like, oh, Andrew Luck sucks now.
Well, you go back and look at every one of these elite quarterbacks, with probably the exception of Brady, have had an off year at some point.
It happens.
Aaron Rodgers has done it. Ben Roethlisberger has done it. And it is going to happen at some point.
And it happens specifically when, A, you're banged up, which he was last year, and B, you really don't have any other talent around you. And Indianapolis, for the longest time, I mean, Andrew Luck, he probably had a back injury last year from carrying that team around for 4 years. That's what it boils down to. So,
and I remember when we had Chuck Pagano at the Super Bowl, and he was telling us off air, no, he wasn't hurt. I think I think he was just kind of...
Chuck Pagano lied right to my face, Fred.
Shame upon him.
Shame on his house.
But we've been saying it all along. When his time came up, he would get the most money, and it's hard to argue with it.
But there will be people who say, oh, they're overpaying for that guy. He sucked last year. All right.
There's not a quarterback in the league that hasn't gotten a deal like that that somebody hasn't said that about. It's too much money.
Maybe Brady.
Well, Brady's the only one that hasn't
gotten. He's the only one who doesn't take the huge money.
Yeah, he doesn't really need it because his wife makes so damn much.
Yeah.
But
that's what I need. Sugar mama.
Yeah, I need to trade up and get one of those.
Doesn't your wife make more money than you already?
She does, yeah.
Yeah, you've already got one.
Well,
I need that. You're already ahead of the game.
Well, with all this side stuff, I've caught her. So,
okay.
Yeah, she doesn't actually make more than me now. She makes a little bit less. So
what
I need
really
somebody who makes more than me.
What I really need is a wife who makes more money than me and her only job is just looking good, like Tom Brady's got going on. That's nice. You make millions of dollars just for being hot, you got it going on.
Yeah, but how high maintenance do you think she is?
How high maintenance do you think Tom Brady is? He wears man Uggs, for crying out loud. That's a high maintenance dude.
Well,
dude spends more in hair product than, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, but in all honesty, though, I don't see any problem with this contract. I think it's we were saying all along when he signed that it was going to be the biggest, and now he can, you know what? If you look like that and you make that kind of money, you can still pull whoever you want. He can go find his own little Giselle somewhere now.
Yeah,
and I'm sure there's going to be people, oh, he doesn't deserve it.
Did you see the new cover of Sports Illustrated?
I have not.
With Caitlyn Jenner on it?
Oh no, not again! Can we please bury this thing and put it away?
She's not wearing a corset.
It. I'm not calling it a she.
What I don't think is fair is if you were going to, you're going to live life as a woman and you want to separate yourself from being Bruce.
You got to chop it off.
No, that's not what I'm saying, because we've discussed before, I don't think he's fully committed to that. I think he's looking to make a switch back eventually. But he's wearing, or excuse me, she's wearing Bruce's gold medal on the cover of SI. I feel like if you're a men's decathlete champion and you change to a woman, you should not be allowed to wear that medal anymore. You're a different person now. It doesn't seem fair to me. But she showed up on the cover of Sports Illustrated in a gold sequin jumpsuit with a gold medal. She says this is the first time wearing the medal around her neck since the victory. She appeared on the cover 40 years ago as Bruce, but the medal has been in a drawer, and basically, you know, her children's show and tell presentations were about the extent to which it was ever on display. Never worn since they put it on him at the Olympics. So she wore it on the cover of Sports Illustrated. And gotta say, it's like maybe because it's been so long, but the gold medal is not as impressive as I expected. I think now gold medals are these huge, massive, you know,
yeah,
things. It almost just looks like some cheap jewelry she got in Chinatown or something. And like, you know, it doesn't. It's not impressive to me, I guess. I mean, obviously the feat is impressive, but again, that was Bruce's accomplishment, not Caitlin's. It just seems, it doesn't seem right.
I'm not calling it a she, because I think this whole thing is a publicity stunt. It is a reality TV star just going out there. I'm sorry, just going out there to get attention, and guess what? It works. And Sports Illustrated, shame bell on you.
You're transphobic.
I'm not trans anything.
Shame.
For taking advantage of that, just like ESPN, shame on you for doing it. Shame on all you guys, because a year from now, when he's talking about, oh, well, it was just a phase, I'm back to normal, it's because it was a total publicity stunt.
Is it shame on me for bringing up this story?
No, not at all, because then I can make fun of it. Because I'm not calling it a she. It's not a she. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And would we even be talking about Bruce Jenner if he hadn't have done this? At this stage, basically his role on the Kardashians is pretty much done.
The Kardashians, that's what's...
That's what's keeping him around.
Made him famous.
Name me any other decathletes from the 70s that people are still talking about.
Not from the 70s. What were the guys that were in the McDonald's commercials that were supposed... Dan and...
Man, they both sucked.
Yeah. I don't remember the other guy's name, but there were two of them.
Yeah.
Like in the... I think it was the 92. I think it was the Dream Team year Olympics that were... It was Dan and something, and they were supposed to be like the great hope. Neither one of them did a damn. One of them, I don't think, even qualified.
One of them didn't qualify, and one of them, I think, got the bronze or something.
Yeah, pretty weak showing. So, it was Dan and Dave.
Ah.
It appears here. Let me see. They did those. It was 92, the Reebok commercials, which that was back when. That was when Reebok was acceptable to wear. And then we went through like a 20-year phase where it was not acceptable to wear. And then they got the UFC deal, and now they're trying to bring it back. But even I think only UFC athletes are supposed to wear Reebok. No one, no normal dudes are wearing Reebok. Dan had a foot injury. No, or Don, I don't know. Or Dave. Dave had a foot injury and won the bronze medal. Then he retired. Dan did not qualify in 92, but he did win the gold medal in the 96 Olympics. So yeah. I guess I have to not crap on him too much. But
well, yeah, but they were really hyped up for that 92 games, and they both sucked. So that's okay, so there's two guys, and they're from the 90s.
Because Reebok decided to build an advertising campaign around decathletes that I don't even know if I could name every event in the decathlon. Can you?
No, God, no. I know they run, they throw stuff, they jump.
100 meters, long jump, shot put,
okay, I got
high jump, 400 meters, 110-meter hurdle, discus throw, pole vault, javelin throw, 1,500 meters. That's the dumbest sport ever. I don't like that game. I'm out on that, too.
Well,
I'm out on Dan and Dave.
That's why when you win a gold medal on it, 30 years later, you decide you want to be a chick because you're on a reality TV show, and then you get all this attention for it, and you get a courage award.
Yeah.
Man, bite me over that.
It's courage, man.
Yeah, right.
It takes courage to deal with transphobes like you.
I'm not a transphobe. Yeah, I'm not any kind of
phobe. You refuse to call her a woman.
It's not a woman.
She believes she's a woman.
I'm sorry.
You refuse to accept her for what she is now.
My standard is you still got the equipment, you're a dude.
But if she chooses to chop it, will you accept her?
She's not chopping. If he is not going to chop it.
If he chops it, are you going to call her a woman?
Yeah, if he goes through the whole surgery.
Okay.
But he hasn't done that. He's given no indication he wants to do that. He says he doesn't want to do that.
Would you make love to her?
God, no.
Even if she had a vagina?
Nope. Not, you know why? It's not that he doesn't look good as a woman for an old dude. It's that damn voice. Because that is an old man voice put in that body.
Yeah,
if you go meet that girl in the bar, you're like, you know what? Not bad. Then it starts talking, and you're like, ah!
If I was serious about making a transition, I'd work on my voice. You can't just come out and be like, hey, guys, what's up? I'm Caitlin.
Thank you so much for giving me this award.
Yeah, Caitlin sounds like she smokes a pack of Marlboros every day. It's not a turn-on to me. But it's probably the closest you would ever get to banging someone on the Kardashian show.
But that's not even near my list of top 1,000 things to do.
Come on, but you know that's like something that'd go on your Wikipedia page.
Yeah, but I wouldn't do it, though. I have no interest in that. There's not a Kardashian I have any interest in. Sorry.
Really?
Yes. Now,
not even just for like for sports sex?
No.
Bald
Natalie Portman, yes.
That's
Scarlett
a lie.
Johansson. Yes, it's not a lie.
If no one was ever going to find out about it and you could sports sex one of the Kardashians.
Not a single one, no. Not without an asbestos condom anyway.
You believe that, Tyler?
I would sports sex a Kardashian.
Probably
not Caitlin, though.
Probably all of them, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Just, we have different tastes. That's quite all right.
What about the mom? Mama Jenner.
Oh, yeah.
Now, her I would, yeah. But that doesn't count.
Okay, now you're in the game. Now you're in the game. Probably the one that I would be out on is the one that James Harden was banging.
Yeah.
No thanks on that.
But I got to figure if I'm famous enough to bang one of them, I have better choices.
But if you banged Kate, you would be a star. You'd be famous. You'd be on magazine covers, Fred. The paparazzi would follow you.
And I want that. Why?
That's part of being rich and famous.
Nah, I'll just take the rich part and we'll leave the famous part out.
All right,
quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz on a What Are the Odds Wednesday. We'll get to your calls next segment, but enough nonsense. We got a guest here, man.
Yeah, joining us on the program is the 12th ranked in the world heavyweight in the UFC, Derek the Black Beast Lewis. Or is it just the Beast? Did they let you get the black back?
Yeah,
they put the black back?
I'm in the black. Yeah, it's black.
You used
Black History Month passed, so they still let me keep it.
Okay, because you had changed it to just the Beast, And I didn't like it. I liked it better when you were the Black Beast and you said, they want me to, you know, be a little more PC.
No, they didn't want me. I just already knew I was going to get a lot of flack of being, like, black guy, naming himself Black Beast.
What if I named myself the Black Beast? I would get it worse, though, right?
You know, my mind frame is totally different. I didn't even think about nothing like that until one of the fans said something about, oh, man, you being racist. I'm like, what the? I'm calling myself the Black Beast. Like,
was this a UFC fan or before?
I guess it was a MMA fan. This is before I even signed to the UFC.
Derek is taking part in International Fight Week. I think you fight on the Thursday card, right? The first card?
Correct.
Yes. Against Roy Nelson. So that'll be July 7th against Roy Nelson in Vegas. This is probably your biggest, at least the biggest name opponent you faced so far. Has it felt any different leading up to this? Has there been more media? What's it been like for you?
No, I believe Gonzaga was the biggest fight.
You think so?
Because he fought for the title in his career, for the UFC title. And Big Country never even got that close to it. But I was more worried about Gonzaga than I am about Big Country. Even though I believe he's still a dangerous opponent, but I was more worried about Gonzaga because of his ground game. And he used it more into his fights. Even though Big Country, he's a black belt on the ground.
He doesn't seem to use it.
Yeah, he doesn't use it.
Is that something that you saw, like, you know, when you decided this is the next guy you want to fight, you see a guy who's got a good ground game and kind of wastes it. Is that the kind of guy that you're looking for? Is that kind of play into your hand?
No, I believe it's I wanted a bonus, you know, to make more money. So
good call.
I believe it was going to be a real entertaining fight, and it's perfect opportunity, perfect timing, you know, to pick this fight.
You almost didn't get to fight him because he had lost 5 out of 6, and he fought Jared Rosholt, a guy that you already beat before. I was actually there and saw you knock him out, which was one of maybe your coolest moment in MMA, I would argue, so far. Of the fights I've seen, I think it was the coolest moment up in Dallas for Legacy. And he beat Jared Rosholt, and so he's back in the game. But watching that fight and seeing, you know, you guys had a common opponent in Rosholt, you saw the way you fought him, you saw the way he fought him. Do you feel like that tells you anything, or was your fight with Rosholt so long ago that it's just kind of old, ancient history?
Yeah, it's ancient history, and plus Rosholt fought him totally different. Rosholt already had been knocked out before. But whenever I fought him, he hadn't been knocked out before, so he didn't want to experience that anymore, so he was trying to fight real safe.
The guys that Roy Nelson has lost to in the UFC, every one of them has either been the UFC champion or fought for the UFC championship. Yeah. Josh Barnett, Alistair Overeem, who's fighting for the title next month, Mark Hunt, Daniel Cormier, who's been the light heavyweight champion, Stipe Miocic, current champion, Fabricio Verdum, Frank Mir, Junior Dos Santos. That's a pretty impressive list of guys who have beat this guy. But when you go through with his wins, I mean, he's got some decent wins, but none over guys like that, none over top-level guys. Well, with the exception of Big Nog, who at that point was barely Big Nog. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like he's one of these guys who's always going to hover around at almost good enough, but just kind of a gatekeeper in the long run?
Yeah, I believe it might be time for him to retire because he just turned 40 last week, and this might be his last fight right here. You know, the beating I'm going to put on, I believe it's going to be his last fight.
Is you know, you mentioned that you know he'll put on a good show, he'll want a bonus, but do you feel like his skills are the same that they were 5 years ago? Do you feel like he's still a top-level fighter, or do you feel like you're catching a guy and just kind of pushing him out the door here?
I believe he still fights the same. You know, he's still aggressive. He's still coming in trying to look for the finish. But I don't see no improvement. He's just been like an average heavyweight to me.
What's changed in as far as your training since you've gotten to the UFC? I mean, early on, a lot of brawling, but you seem a lot more technical. You seemed comfortable going to the ground with Gonzaga. I mean, what's changed for you in the couple years that you've been in the UFC?
I believe it's the mindset going into the fights now. You know, not just going in there thinking that I could just go. I don't have to train hard and go in and fight and just try to knock the guy out the first round. But now I'm taking it more serious and and train as hard as I can and believing in myself.
Is that something that you did before? You just said, I'll be fine on fight day and just go in there and fight?
Yeah, be in McDonald's, drive through. Yeah, get a number one. But give me a Diet Coke instead of a regular Coke.
And that was a fight camp? Yeah. That's your fight camp diet? Yeah. I mean, how is it kind of unbelievable to you looking back? Obviously, now you're seeing what the top level of this sport is like. Looking back, is it unbelievable that you were able to get as far as you did with that mindset?
Yes, it is. And it's like, that's why it just brought me closer to believing in God. You know, everything happened for a reason. And I believe God put me in a situation, you know, to provide for my family.
Did you, I want to go back a couple fights ago, back to, I guess it might have been right around last year. When you fought Sean Jordan the second time, was that a great disappointment for you? Because I know that was a fight that you felt, the first time you guys fought, you felt that you kind of got cheated out of something. Mm-hmm. You had a chance to get it back. Was that a great disappointment for you to not be able to win that fight?
Oh, yeah, it was a big disappointment. It's probably like the worst disappointment of my life. Even the Matt Mitrione fight, the Sean Jordan fight was the worst because I trained hard as I can and just I believe I didn't come in the fight mentally prepared for it, and wound up losing.
The Mitrione fight you mentioned, was in 2014, and very quick fight. I mean, it was like one of the first flurries of the fight, and you got knocked out. You told me before the show started that was the kind of the fight where your mindset changed on what you had to do preparation wise. So talk about that fight and when you went into that fight, what did you expect? And you know, how did it change your preparation?
You know, I was having a bunch of problems at home with my fiance. We was arguing all the time. My head was not in it at all, and my blood pressure was sky high, and I was already dizzy before the fight, and I didn't even eat that whole day because my mind wasn't in it. I forgot to even eat like 5 minutes before I had to walk out to the cage, and I was like, oh, man, I ain't even eat today. And so whenever I got in the octagon, I could barely already see anyways. So,
And since that fight, you realized that, you know, the mental game is so much more important.
Yes. Exactly.
I remember when you were headed to the UFC, you went to Florida for a while to train. Then you ended up back here. And it seems like you found a home here at 4 Ounce, and this seems to be the only. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's the only gym you train at anymore, right?
Yes.
There were a lot of people who said if Derek wants to really make it, he has to go outside Houston and find other big time heavyweights to train with. What made you? And I know that played a part in you going to Florida. What made you decide to say, you know what, I don't need that. I'm gonna stay here with good coaches, good trainers, and that's the most important thing. How did you make that decision?
Because it was, like I said, it's like it was a battle on myself. You know, I was battling with myself. It was the mental part of the game. It wasn't nothing about the physical. I could train all I want and this and that, but if my head is not in it, then ain't no way I could really go through and achieve my goal that I set out to do, you know, is win. It was just going to be hard.
I think that you might be my favorite follow on Instagram. You had the funniest stuff. Where do you find this stuff at? And why? I mean, do you just spend? We talked about the fighter's life is you train for a few hours every day, then you're so tired you just kind of sit around and mess around all day. Is that where it comes from? You just sit around flipping through the internet and finding this stuff?
Most of it, a fan sends it to me and. Some of them, you know, they married and they don't want their wife to see it. They don't want me to tag them in or anything like that, and they just want me to retweet it or repost it.
How are you accepting kind of, you know, the newfound stardom? Because you're really become one of the, like a fan favorite fighter with the UFC now. A lot of the fans are taking to you because you're a funny guy. Yeah, you know, and you knock people out. But has that been exciting for you to grow this following like this?
Yeah, it's been exciting and also been embarrassing on the fans' part because you can't talk about you're my biggest fan, saying that I'm their biggest fan, and you only seen one fight of me, and you don't even know about the fights I had like 2 or 3 years ago, but you just seen my last fight and saying that I'm your biggest fan.
That annoys you?
Yes, yes. That annoys me big time.
Well, Derek, I'm always a big fan of you. I'm glad. I know you said you're headed out to Vegas on Friday. This is, to me, a big fight for you, a big opportunity for you. Maybe another one of those performance of the night bonuses, which would be nice for you, I'm sure. I wanted to make sure we got you in here before you headed out there. But best of luck to you, brother, as always. We're cheering for you here in Houston. And I still love watching you fight. And I've seen you fight probably 15 times. So I'm in the cool crowd of guys who have actually seen you fight a lot. So appreciate you, brother, and best of luck, man.
Thanks for having me.
All right, that's the Black Beast, Derek Lewis. He'll be taking on Roy Nelson at UFC Fight Night 90, which will be July 7th, and I believe it'll be on Fox Sports 1. You could see that fight. So there we go. All right, I got to tell you guys quickly about Dirt Free. If you're using the other guys, if you're using some crappy old carpet cleaning company you found in the phone book, probably leaving a bunch of junk on your floor. They're using too much soap, too much water, and they're leaving a residue behind with a bunch of chemicals that probably make you sick, make your family sick, make your dog sick, then your dog throws up on the floor, then you got to call the carpet cleaning company again. It's just too much drama. That's not the case with Dirt Free. Give them a call, 281-DIRT-FREE, go chemical-free with Dirt Free Carpet. They use powerful engines to create high-pressure steam made from their patented super water. Your carpet's going to be fresh and deep clean without soap or unhealthy dirt-attracting chemicals. They've been doing this for over 30 years, cleaning upholstery, floors, oriental rugs, even your air ducts. Call Dirt Free Carpet right now. 281-DIRT-FREE. Tell them you heard about it right here on ESPN 97.5. They'll do three rooms of carpet for just $99.95 and throw in a free speed dry to the first 25 callers. 281-DIRT-FREE. That's 281-347-8373 for Dirt Free Carpet.
Is the Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. If you want to get in, we'll take some phone calls now. It's 713-780-3776. It is a What Are the Odds Wednesday, brought to you by Deep South Barrels. So just put odds on whatever. A couple things to get caught up on. But someone asking, are there any poker spots left? Yes, we'll give away 10 more today. So just stay tuned.
Some dude on Twitter saying he'll slap Derek Lewis around.
Really?
I don't know why these dudes talk like this.
Oh boy, I don't even know if I want to address this because it's one of those dumb blanket things that it just, yeah. You know, it every time I think we've got 95% smart listeners, I always get texts like this. A little behind on the stream, but you guys are the most ignorant people when it comes to transgender people.
Told you, Fred.
I know some of what you say is for entertainment purposes, but a lot of what you say is just hate speech.
Told
you. Really kind of unfortunate. Yeah, you know what? You obviously have not listened to the show very long because, yeah, real transgender people I have a lot of sympathy for and, you know, I'll say a lot of nice things about. Publicity whores who are doing it for that reason, I have no respect for, and I'm going to make fun of them. And if you consider that hate speech, bleep you. That's hate speech. Go bleep yourself. How's that? 713. Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry. I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat stuff with some guy who I think is a total phony.
Robert says, what are the odds AJ hosts a weekly Aggie show on ESPN 97.5? I've not gotten that offer. So, oddly enough.
Oh, come on, man. I think you and Dave South, that'd make one hell of a...
I think that would be a good show, but I've not been offered that. Aggie is not a big fan of me.
Probably not.
But that's okay. I love everyone the same. Regular people, Aggies, transgender, all of them. I love everyone.
I don't think love is the right word. I think you treat all of them the same.
I treat all of them the same. That's yeah. Right.
You treat everyone equally.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you love them, though.
No,
your Astros are up 6-3. George Springer just hit a home run to make it 6-3.
The Astros are winning the World Series, Fred.
Really? That's your.
You're going to argue against that?
That's your new take?
It's my new take.
Playing very well since. since that awful start, they've been one of the better teams in baseball, and doing it without Dallas Keuchel being very good. And he's leading today, but he's still not the Dallas Keuchel you're used to seeing.
I also think that it helps that they've played the Angels a lot, because the Angels, A, totally suck, and B, can't beat the Astros to save their life.
What is it, 7 in a row? About maybe 8 today? If
the
they went
Astros
today?
Treat the Angels the way the Rangers treat the Astros.
Yeah.
It's that daddy-daughter syndrome.
But
it goes down the line.
The frustrating thing, though, if you're an Astros fan, as of last night, as well as they played, they still have dropped a game to the Rangers. They're 10 back now.
10 back.
Yeah, going into today. But if you'd have told me that they would be where they are now at the beginning of the season, I'd say, yeah, it's about right. A few games over 500. If you told me they'd do that with Dallas Keuchel being their worst starting pitcher, might not have followed you on that one. But which he's been, there's no doubt.
He's their worst one?
Yeah.
That's a shame.
And so far he's been. I still think he'll turn it around. But in terms of ERA,
let me ask you something crazy. Could you make an argument right now Jose Altuve is the favorite to be the MVP in the league?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely you could.
Isn't that ridiculous?
He's got, I think, 3 more hits today. He's up over 350.
Yeah.
And
that dude can play.
Yeah, and he's been doing it all year. He's been the one consistent player. And the other guys have been up and down, but boy, you can count on that guy every night, night in, night out. I didn't think he'd hit 348 again. I thought he'd be a consistent 300-plus hitter.
Yeah.
He might do better than that this year.
He might. And somebody had asked me today, what are the odds that Altuve's the MVP? And I was like, he's really good this year. And I was like, let me check and see what the other guys around the league are doing compared to him. And there's nobody that I'd make a fierce argument for that's having a better season than him. Ian Desmond for the Rangers is having a very similar season to him numbers-wise and plays on a team that's 10 games better. But even that, I don't know. I mean, Altuve beats him in batting average and by about 7 steals. Desmond hits for slightly more power. Mookie Betts in Boston's been phenomenal, but when I look at his numbers, they're not significantly better than Jose Altuve. And even Mike Trout, who he'll have more power numbers at the end of the day, but his overall numbers aren't way better than Altuve's, and he plays on a crappy team. So you could legitimately make an argument that this dude is the leader in the clubhouse for the MVP race.
I don't think it's a stretch as of right now, and obviously a lot can happen, and it's very early, but this guy's going to drive in 100 runs at the pace he's at.
Yeah.
And hit 350 and probably wind up with 25 homers the way he's hitting the ball out of the park. And I mean, it's if he can keep this up, and I don't know any reason why he can't, because he's got a pretty good track record now of keeping it up for several years.
Well, this is the difference. I mean, a couple years ago when he hit 340, it was a batting title easily, but he didn't hit for much power that year. I think he had 6-7 home runs. He's got 13 home runs this year. His career high was last year, he had 15, and we're not even halfway through. So he's gonna have a career high in home runs. Right now he's on pace for a career high in batting average, on pace for a career high in RBI. I mean, and he's still stealing a bunch of bases. He's not going to steal 56 bases, but he's still doing pretty well. He's doing all right.
He would have had the cycle the other night if he hadn't fallen down.
Yep.
And today he's got a double and a triple. I mean, he's just...
Story of my life. I would have done this, and this if I hadn't fallen down. I always fall down.
Yeah, that was pretty funny when he rounded second the other day. All he needed was a triple for the cycle. Squeeze in a quick phone call. Alex, you're on the Blitz. Go. Alex, go. All right.
Hey, we got to turn him up. I can hear him talking.
Yeah, I don't know if that was on him or on you, Tyler.
I think that's on Tyler. Tyler, yeah. He dropped after
you called his name the second time.
All right.
I don't know. I thought I heard him talking in there somewhere.
I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying is I'm just saying. Tyler, he's no Jong. I know that.
Yeah, he tries. Right. He tries. Yeah, Jong.
The effort's there, just not the talent.
Jong took a much-needed day off today. And Tyler's filling
in. The dude just got off from like 2 weeks of vacation in Japan and Korea.
Man, we all need more time off right now this time of year.
A much needed day off for Jong after 2 weeks of vacation.
You think that's vacation? Being gone over there overseas for that long? That sucks.
Dude.
I'm sure he had fun, but.
Give me 10 days overseas anytime. I'll take it. I'm
telling you what, dealing with the people around here, he needs a day off.
That's probably true. Yeah. He chooses to do that, though. That's the life he chose.
All right. We are going to take.
Again, you want to be rich and famous? You got to make some sacrifices.
Yeah, well.
Jong is now rich and famous, but he's got to make some sacrifices.
Somebody just hit a home run here.
Well, you know who that is.
Luis Valbuena.
Louis.
Who, by the way, is another guy since.
Yeah, who doesn't suck.
May started. He's actually been a very useful player for them. All right, we're going to take a quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Clock and grab your jock.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. Play poker in the Blitz Summer Poker Classic Thursday. We're playing at Dave and Buster's on Richmond. Bringing back Big Stack Poker League as the tournament director. Sign in for available seats is at 5 p.m. We'll shuffle up and deal at 7:15 to find the top 25 who will advance to the finale for a chance to win the grand prize. And this is completely free. If you don't win a spot, as long as you get there, you know, if you get there before 6, you're going to get in. If you get there before 6:30, you're probably okay. But if you do get a spot, you still have to get there and check in. And if you do win one of these spots, then and you want to play at my table, just shoot a text or tweet at me, and I'll I got a couple spots left, and then I'll overbook it because a couple people won't show up. But let's give away three spots right now. Callers 15, 16, 17. This is tomorrow, Dave and Buster's on Richmond. We'll be doing the show there 4 to 7, and then afterwards hanging around and playing poker. At least I will be. All right. So, yeah, your Astros... Now up 7.
The route is on.
Yeah.
Hey, did you see what Gilbert Ramirez said about Canelo Alvarez?
I did not see that, no.
Gilberto Ramirez says he's disappointed that Canelo's ducking Golovkin. He says, if you're going to do that moment that can, you remember after Canelo knocked out Khan, he said, "We don't like they say in Mexico. We don't bleep around. We don't come to play in the sport. I fear no one. I'll fight him right now. Let's put the gloves on and get in here now." And then, less than 2 weeks later, he gave up his title and, decided, we'll fight him in September of 2017. Ramirez is saying that what Canelo's doing is very disappointing for us as boxing fans. A lot of us want to see that fight, him and Golovkin, but when he says something like that in the ring, I want to fight him, and then turns around and decides he's not going to fight him, it makes all of us boxers look bad, especially him, by not taking a fight that everybody wants to see and has been asking him to take, and which he said he would take, it's bad. He said it was for the title and that it was for pride, but obviously he has neither. He doesn't have the title or the pride. Boxing takes a shot when that happens, saying things and not coming through with them. So Ramirez is hopeful that he can steal some of that thunder and fight Golovkin. So he's fighting a guy next month, some dude I've never even heard of, Dominic Brich, who's a German guy. He says after that fight, he would like to take on Golovkin. Now, but this is a dude who, he's 6'2", has a 75-inch reach. Golovkin's 5'10", with a 70-inch reach. It'd be an interesting fight. And it'd be a dangerous fight, although Ramirez is like 25. He hasn't fought anybody nearly the level of Golovkin. But they feel confident that this is a fight that could work for him. Sean Gibbons is his advisor. He says, Ramirez has seen everything in the gym, and let's be honest here, Triple G is a one-dimensional fighter. He's really great offensively, but his defense is zero. He's not the 85 Bears. And I think the jump from 160 to 168 is the biggest leap you have to make. Those guys at 168, they're walking around at 190, 195. I know Triple G can crack. He's going to be getting whacked over and over as he tries to come in. He'll be getting lit up with punches, and he hasn't been in that situation before. So it's kind of a strange thing. So this guy basically says that Canelo's a punk, he's a coward, but instead of calling him out, he calls out Golovkin.
Yeah, two quick thoughts. Number one, I don't think Golovkin's defense is non-existent.
No, I think a lot of times Golovkin allows himself
to get hit. Well, he does. He intentionally lets himself get hit sometimes because he thinks it's funny. And he just kind of lets him hit him to say, hey, you can't hurt me, here we go. When he's actually defending himself, I don't see too many people hit the guy. I think his defense is underrated. You just never see it because he knocks people out. The other thing is, I'm not blaming Canelo for this. I think this is all on Golden Boy. I think if it were up to Canelo, he'd want the fight. But there's no way.
Yeah, but in a way, isn't it kind of up to Canelo?
No. I mean, he's got to get that.
You're a pro fighter, you've got a manager, and I understand like a manager could say, hey, I don't think this is a good fight for you. But at the end of the day, the fighter, it's not like the fighter could not say, no, I'm going to take this fight. This is a good fight for me. I think the fighter has last say.
That's not how it works, man. You've been around these guys enough.
I don't know. I'm with you. I think that saying Golovkin's a zero on defense is a joke. But I'd like to see I'm with Ramirez that I would like to see that fight. I'd like to see that Golovkin-Canelo fight and not have to wait till September to do it.
713-780-ESPN. Let's grab a couple quick phone calls. Chris wants to weigh in on that. Let's go to him. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, sports is going on.
So I was just, I agree with you that Canelo wants that fight. I think it's more Golden Boy. But I think he's getting backlash when he shouldn't, because I think a bigger issue is that Canelo is the A side of the deal. And in this world, he can't fight for peanuts, especially against a guy like Triple G. And if the money isn't right, then he has the option of going back to 154 and fighting the big names that are still calling him out. Triple G doesn't have that opportunity because the big names at 160 aren't there. So he has to have Canelo.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is Golovkin's at a weight class where there's not a lot of guys that he hasn't already beat that are worth a damn.
But he's not going to fight him for peanuts. That's going to be a very big, pay-per-view. But the truth is, the people who want to see Golovkin and Canelo fight are boxing fans, because it would be a great fight. The casual fan, who's the Canelo fan, who Golden Boy is looking out for, they want no part of that. They don't care. They just want to see Canelo fight whomever. And they can keep trotting tomato cans in there year after year after year and making big money off of it, and it's not going to matter. That's why I'm all for Golovkin going up and weight and fighting one of the better fighters anyway and proving himself there, because I would rather see those fights than Canelo anyway, because I don't think Canelo would beat Golovkin. I think it would be an ass-kicking. And I think everybody on Canelo's side knows that too, so why do it?
Well, I think there's a lot of money to be made with that fight.
But on Canelo's end, there's a lot of money to be made with any fight he has, because he's so big and everybody in Mexico loves him. They're going to pay for every fight. Yeah, guys,
don't
like,
you think that there's other guys, like non-Mexicans, who would buy a Canelo fight if he fought Golovkin?
See, I think because we're around it a lot, we know what Golovkin is. I don't think most people know who Golovkin is.
You think?
No, I really think so. Do you think you would? Like, I would pay to watch him fight, but I think there's a lot of people out there who will pay to watch Canelo fight anybody, or would pay to watch Floyd Mayweather fight anybody, because they know those names. I don't think Golovkin's that well known.
I feel like if you watch boxing, I feel like you've got
to
know.
If you watch boxing, yes. But a lot of these people don't. People buying pay-per-views will buy a Canelo Alvarez fight because, you know how nationalistic this gets.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a whole bunch of people out there that would buy a Golovkin fight except for people who like boxing.
You're saying that there's not a big Kazakhstani pay-per-view market?
No, I don't think there is a huge Kazakhstani pay-per-view market.
That's pretty racist of you. So now you've offended the transgender community and the Kazakh community here in Houston. So congratulations on that.
I would just be curious how much pay-per-view numbers any Kazakhstan or any fight with a Kazakhstani does.
Well, he is the greatest Kazakhstani fighter of all time. I think we can agree on that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good.
But no, I think No, I think for people who follow it, Golovkin's a big deal. But most people, I mean, the numbers that when he does those HBO fights that I love, that we get them, well, not free because they're on HBO, but they aren't that big.
But wouldn't you agree that most people who are actually paying for pay-per-views are, they watch boxing at least to some extent?
No, I don't. I think a good number do, but I think there's a huge group that, oh, Manny Pacquiao's a star, I'll tune in for that. Floyd Mayweather's a star, I'll tune in for that. Canelo is a star, I'll tune in for that. All of those, with the exception of Mayweather, very nationalistic. They become heroes, and that goes beyond sports. So, no, I don't think they're, I mean, I think there's a big chunk that are boxing fans, but some of those fights I don't pay for, and I'm a boxing fan. Like whoever Canelo fights next, I don't really care to see it. But I would pay for Golovkin against anybody just because I love watching him knock people the hell out. But I'm the minority, man, big time.
It does piss me off, though, that he did the, I'll fight him, I want to fight, I'm not ducking anybody, I'll fight anybody, and then
well,
he dropped the title.
Yeah, 979 says, just to verify, I only know of Triple G because you guys talking about him.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's, honestly, I think that is more people, I think that's the majority, man. And, yeah, and that's the thing, for pay-per-view, for a guy like Canelo who's got a built-in audience and who's a legitimate star among his people, they're going to pay to see him fight anybody. They may not pay for another fight all year, but they'll pay for his.
Yeah.
It's like Filipinos and Manny. We need Bob Arum here to explain this in a very racist way, but it's kind of what it is.
The problem is the Mexicans are willing to spend their hard-earned pesos on these fights. The blacks, don't get me started on what they like to spend their money on. The Kazakhstanis, they try to pay me in goats for these fights, and I don't accept goats as a currency. I tried to tell them, but this is just, it's hard for them to, they're not a smart people, Fred. I don't know how to say it nicely. They're just not smart, and they haven't figured out that goats are not dollars, but that's what they buy. You know, they buy everything in that country with goats.
I thought Borat was pretty smart. Was it Borat pretty smart?
What are you talking about? What is a Borat? I don't even know what you're saying. Don't know what you're saying.
I'm getting a lot of people saying the same thing. Never heard of Golovkin until we talked about him.
That's insane to me.
That's insane to me, too.
It's insane to me and Bob Arum. I can't believe it.
No, but I think people inside the fight game would think that's insane. The average person would understand that completely. All right, we'll get to that in a lot more. A lot more of your phone calls, and we'll get caught up on some other stuff. But right now, I got to tell you about Houston Can Academies. Terrific place. They take in at-risk kids who dropped out of other schools, and they give them a second chance. And a lot of these kids had to drop out for a variety of reasons. Sometimes they had to get jobs to support their families. Well, here's what Houston Can Academy does. They work around them so that they can get their degree and go on and do great things. And so many of them take advantage of this and do. And these kids, who knows where they would have wound up without Houston Can Academies. And they provide them glasses if they need that, sometimes transportation. And that's why they need your donation. And by your donation, they just need a vehicle you're not using anymore. Doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. It doesn't matter if it's running or not. It doesn't matter how long it's been sitting out in your garage or in your front yard and you didn't know what to do with it. And maybe it got flooded here and you said, all right, you know what? I can't fix it. We'll donate it. Because here's what they'll do. They'll come tow your vehicle absolutely free of charge. They take care of all the paperwork and your donation is tax deductible. And if you can hear my voice, they'll come and get it. If you're over in Lake Charles, they'll come and tow it away. Beaumont, no matter where you are, they'll come and get it. And if you donate today, guess what? They're going to give you Astros tickets if you tell them you heard about it on the Blitz. Just their way of saying thank you. Give the Houston Can Academies a call, 713-225-4226, 713-225-4226, or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.